When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have the Mike McCarthy press conference coming up here before too long. Big Mike will be up there at the Ford Center at the Star talking to you about everything that happened yesterday and his plans for this week to get right going into Monday Night Football against Houston. The Cowboys presser, Mike McCarthy press conference, will be brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mike McCarthy's strong words about the turnovers in the postgame show. I think the question, though, is he making excuses? They were fully blown out, doors blown off of them at 28-6. The turnover ratio at that point was 2-2. Then they have the three late in the game that made it embarrassing. But I feel like Mike's deflecting there or reaching for something so he doesn't have to own totally how pathetic this football team is on both sides of the ball. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's an excuse. You're never going to win a game when you turn the ball over five times.
Unless you're Jared Goff.
But, yeah, I guess that's true. I should not say never. We were just talking about that crazy Goff stat where that was the seventh time he's had four more interceptions in a game, and he's 7-0 in said games. That's absolutely unbelievable. I guess it can be done. I mean, in the first half, your defense also was able to counter those turnovers for you. The interception for Diggs took red zone points off the board, and then right after the Zeke fumble, Micah with the sack fumble that Leofau is able to recover. So you were in the game. If you were able to maybe do a little bit better when it comes to play calling and offensive execution to maybe have a better chance to win it. But, yeah, I mean, he is right. The turnovers are unacceptable. They're inexcusable, and that's something where this year they've been on the wrong end of it, where they've been in – on the positive side of it in years past, and they've been able to get 12 wins.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like you are absolutely getting truck-sticked in this game. And Jerry did it too. Like, you know, you could talk about all this other stuff, but we gave it away this many times. It's like, yeah, you're giving away that many times because you're terrible at football. You're unable to force that many turnovers because you don't have the pressure players.
Right? And they fixed the penalties, though.
They did?
Only had five mm-hmm. for 40 yards. Now, Mike is... this is only what, week 10, and we've kind of run out of answers. You know, we've run out of answers to try and talk about really what's wrong with this football team. And your eyes tell you what's wrong with this football team. And you know, they're going to have hope, and they're going to think things are going to get turned around. And reality is that people that are probably talking to Jerry, the guys that he trusts, the Troy Aikmans, the Michael Irvins, and people like that, are saying, Jerry, your football team is no good. You know, and so that's what Jerry's dealing with right now. The outside people, Bill Belichick, maybe Jerry's calling up a Bill Belichick. Bill, you see our film, you watch our games. Well, Jerry, this is, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about Mike, but you know, but over there they've run out of things to say. What's going wrong? You know, they're not good enough on offense. Their play calling their scheme is not good. It's just not. When you third and eight and you throw the ball, or you know, you throw the third and eight and you throw the ball short of the sticks and expect your receivers to break tackles, and you know, I mean, I get it's
that's football. Their bread and butter.
It's football, but that's one of the better tackling secondaries in the league. You know, you're not.
That was on full display yesterday.
The last 2 weeks. there have been a much more of a thought about the short pat. You know, everything is short. Everything's short.
Yeah.
You know, nothing going down the field. So they have no more answers to explain why they're struggling as bad as
they are. It's easy to point to five turnovers, but it also doesn't. Sure it, is. It doesn't.
It was penalties. Sometimes it's the penalties. Sometimes it's the turnovers.
Or it's just three and outs and just bad drives.
How many bad drives you have?
It's all of it. It all helps stink.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a caller last night coming to his defense strongly?
Yeah, the guy, a gentleman
Paul
from
in Wisconsin.
Paul in Wisconsin called in and Paul says he's a Cowboy fan, and he was talking about the same thing that all the things that Stephen Jones talks about. Three straight years of 12 wins and things like that, and it's not Mike's fault. And you know, I'm like, fine. I mean, but they're going to move on from this guy. Mike McCarthy is not going to save his job here, I don't believe. There's nothing that's indicating to me that that's going to happen, you know? And so
your indicators are working beautifully.
Well, that's in that building, they believe, you know, I mean, I was listening to our buddy Bob Papa talk, you know, this morning, and he was like saying, listen, I know that Tampa Bay has lost, you know, four straight games and they're 4-5. Watch them. They're going to reel off six wins in the next seven. You know, he went through the schedule and it sounded realistic, you know, but that a team like that, you look at a team and like, yeah, Tampa barely loses to Kansas City. Tampa barely loses to San Francisco. You do see hope with teams like that. You know, you do see, okay, man, I could see that. I could see where Tampa could maybe win the NFC South, but Dallas, no, not the way you're playing football right now. There's nothing that an eye test for you there. That's things like this team is going to get things turned around.
So when you look at it at 877-881-1053, where does Mike McCarthy rank for you? I mean, there's the front office job they've done. There's injuries, and then there's coaching. Right? You could also say execution by the players,
yeah. Can I say something real quick? And listen, this is not in defense of not a defense. This is in defense of the coaches. And I'm saying this is in defense of the defensive coaches. Yesterday, you saw them try and do something different yesterday, whether it was double-A gap blitz or 3-3, whatever they were playing up front. You saw them affect the Eagles. The Eagles did not have an answer for Overshown as a pass rusher yesterday. Didn't have an answer. You know, that's all I ask. If you're not good enough and you're getting crushed,
yeah, find something.
Just go out and people would say, brought us your buddy Zimmer. No, I'm just saying on defense, they're getting their ass kicked. Mike will tell you that.
We're going to the top. Here he is, Mike McCarthy in Frisco.
Any comment?
Not today. I just couldn't help myself. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Mike, Dallas Morning News. Do you take offense at what Micah Parsons said after the game, or do you just consider it part of when a team is playing like this, those type of comments are going to come out as the frustration of the moment?
Well, I think like anything with post-game remarks and really any remarks, When it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, you know, handled those things as men should handle it. You know, that wasn't his intent. And, you know, so that's something he can talk on. But, you know, the other part of it, too, is, you know, is what comes out of this, too, all the way around, you know, questions for others. And also, I don't want to see any my players get attacked also from the other side of this, too. So we have so much more that we need to focus on, and that's really what we talk about pretty much, you know, throughout the day today. Is just we just got to keep it about football, bear down on the things we know we need to improve on, build off of some of the things that we did, felt like we got better, you know, throughout these games coming out of the bye. These are the things that you need to, you know, eliminate from your culture. And just like anything, you know, conversations bring, you know, resolution. So and I think this is an example of that.
And you talked about that before, just to keep the focus on the football, but there are the peripheral issues that come from losing, especially when expectations were above where you were. This is you know this is coming. Does it take more of your time to manage as you're in the midst of this?
Yeah, when you lose, you know, when you're losing multiple games, definitely. I just look at how much time today. Today's a great example. You know, how much time I've spent on, you know, Houston Texan. I think I'm on play six of the Detroit game. So, and that's what these types of things bring. And that's why, you know, frankly, I think it's harder when you win. Handling success, to me, has always been the biggest challenge in this. We have a great opportunity to be in an adverse situation as a group of men to go do something people don't think we can do. And been there before, excited about it. You know, most of the times come out the other end, and that's what I'm focused on. So, but to get there, you got to, you know, utilization of energy and all that application of how we want to unite and continue to work is important. So I think all these guys, you know, we all need to focus on our, you know, our mental space, take care of ourselves, you know, hug our families, they're, you know, because they're the ones that have to listen to you know, most of this stuff. But we need to just keep about football, because if we're not working on football, you know, our opponent is an hour or two better than us already. So that's my message.
Clarence, I'll say Dallas, quickly piggybacking on that. The question was born out of a question about your job status. Do you talk to the players about how to answer that type of question? That's something they have to deal with now, too. I mean, that's kind of where.
No, I don't. They're grown men. They know they need to answer it. The way they need to, they feel they need to answer it. I just think out of anything. I mean, you have the job to do. We have the job to do. It's our responsibility to deal with the media. I think being genuine is important. I think. You know, giving rope answers, you know, just leads to, you know, follow-up questions. You know, good reporters like yourself will do follow-ups and just keep going after it. But, yeah, I've never stood up there and said, hey, you need to say this, this, and this, that question. I don't think that's real. And these guys know what they're doing.
Dak Prescott.
I was kidding about the follow-up. Next question. So.
Dak Prescott, any answers on the surgery? I know he talked about.
I haven't talked to him yet today. You know, so.
Thank you.
Todd Archer, ESPN. Mike, you've made your bones in this league offensively and play calling. How much of the struggles offensively, how much have they weighed on you?
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, that was brutal. That second half was as hard as a game that I've been a part of. So, you think of the Detroit game and this game. I mean, it really comes down to, the giveaways. You can't give the ball away, and then it's, it gets to a two-score game, three-score game, and then you are where you are there, like we were in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, the first half, and this is a, cop-out statement when you stand up and say, if you take two plays away, it's 17-3. But, that's the way we need to play. We can't afford right now to make those mistakes. So. We need to be cleaner in those spots. I mean, our defense gave us great opportunities in the first half. I thought our defense took a big step in the first half and gave us opportunities. But losing that first fumble, really putting them in position to score first. 15 play drive, 6 minutes, six plus minutes drive. That's the way we. We need to play a lot of the time. We need to try to create more shots and things like that. And these are the things we're talking about. Five giveaways. I don't know how many more times I can say it from today to yesterday. You can't win games like that.
Does it make you question what you do and what you've done?
I believe in the process. I mean, I know Lott's made a scheme and so forth. Your system of football has to fit your players, and you got to give these guys the opportunity. And every team's built a little differently. What year you're in, where your players are. So, this is not a we need to go change. We need to be better at the things we're committed to. I've always played to the strength of the quarterback. That's just something I believe. That's why I learned it from Paul Hackett. The West Coast offense is built around making the quarterback successful. We're running the ball better. We've made a strong commitment to really knuckle down at certain things that we're doing differently since the bye. So there is progress there. The action passing game has to come off it. That's not nearly where it's at. And, we've actually been in favorable third downs. I mean, you know, our third down, you know, we definitely dropped down in third down production, but, you know, we are in favorable down and distances. So we need to stay the course and just, you know, make sure we're giving the players what they need and, you know, putting them in positions to be successful and just keep working at our execution.
John Machado with The Athletic, when you talk about the or your guys' turnovers, how do you go about fixing them during the week when it's not like they're the same kind? It's different things that are happening. How do you improve in that area?
Well, we drill it. We really do. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of time and energy goes into this. I mean, I'm going all the way back to February and March. You know, we have a process that John Fossil and I head up. You know, Ryan Feeders is part of that, and it's we call it team fundamentals. You know, so all of our ball security drills are researched, identified, and actually what's cool is, you know, we build them during the off season, but then we give them the live shots week to week. Because, I mean, there's balls, you know, we'll be all over the tape this week, but there's these type of plays each and every week in the league. And so the education process is there, the drill work's there, but that's just like anything in football. You can talk about all you want, but, you know, coaches don't just say, hey, I gave them the playbook. That's not where coaching starts. It's, you know, it's really about the results. So we just got to keep emphasizing it, keep working at it. We added more time into team fundamentals back to the Wednesday practice 3 or 4 weeks back. So I just believe in bearing down and staying after it, because that's the only thing I know how to do, and it'll show up. I mean, our history here will speak to it. You know, we've been very, very good in the area of turnover ratio. I mean, minus 10 makes me sick. I mean, it absolutely does. I mean, that's not what I believe in. I think my track record speaks to that, and so all I know how to do is keep working.
Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram, with a couple of losses consecutively, what's your message to the team so that emotions don't snowball, but also the losses themselves?
Oh, I just think it's really about one another. You know, I think this is an incredible opportunity of adversity that we're in. Personally, you know, I was 61 yesterday. I don't know if you know that. But, you know, how many more cracks at the plate do you get? So I enjoy the arena of conflict and being in these types of situation, because I mean these are the years you remember. But it's time to get it turned. I mean, we've been in this mode, you know, a couple of weeks too long here. But this is a great opportunity for us. No one believes that we can do it, so which I think even makes it sweeter. But we need to win a game. You know, we got a hell of an opponent coming here Monday night, playing well. They lost a tough one last night, so saw the end of that game. But you know, it's about the game of football. You know, if we don't do the things, the basics that are necessary, then, you know, I'm going to be standing up here, you know, talking about the things we need to do better. But, you know, this group works hard. I believe in the locker room, because these guys give it up. I mean, everything's measured. You know, we have an evaluation process, a daily one that reflects what they're doing each and every day, and it all in compared to prior years. So you have good comparables and so forth. But you know, we're not there right now. You know, and we just got to keep working.
Were you able to get away and celebrate last night?
No. I had family at town. It was nice.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. How much do you lean on your leadership council to try to get you through difficult times?
Well, I tell you what, it's you just got some moving parts right now. You know, and you know, half our leadership council is injured, so I think that's, you know, that's part of it too. So it's really a great opportunity for younger guys, you know, to step up. And most important, you know, component of leadership right now is action with success. You know, that's important. You know, a lot of guys can, you know, be leaders just on the way they go about their business and perform on Sundays. That's a great form of it. But yeah, the guys are they're saying the right things. They're talking the right way. The veterans are doing a good job there. So yeah, we need to stay after it. You know, so yeah, the energy and the effort's not an issue.
Any update on Overshawn? I think he had an MRI today.
They have not got that back yet, but you know, it's let's just get all the information. I don't want to speak ahead of ourselves. I don't have an update on any of those guys really.
Todd,
he's at The Athletic. Mike, you mentioned before about how different it is being in Dallas. Just when did you kind of acclimate to all the off the field stuff that kind of comes with being the head coach in Dallas?
I'd say probably 2021. You know, 2020 was just such a different year. I'd say 2021. And I just remember, you know, a conversation that Jerry and I had, and you know, and he was it was insightful. He said, you know, it's this is a difficult job for to be a head coach, and we talked about some of the things, and he was right on the money.
How do you go about making sure all these things don't kind of drain your energy for what you're trying to do on the field?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm so blessed to be in this spot, and it's about competing and winning football games. I just can't believe how fast it's gone. And the best advice I could give a young coach, even players all the time, it goes so fast. You got to take advantage of every opportunity you have. So, and that's where I'm at with this. And to be honest, the day I can't jump out of bed and hit Starbucks early, then it's probably time for me to get on down the road. But I love it. I enjoy it. This is the best part of the day. Second best. Starbucks is the best. But, I love what I get to do. I love the adversity of it. I love the challenge of competing and so forth. I wish our players had more success right now because I know how much they put into it. This coaching staff, with the things that they have to listen to and so forth. I mean, it's an unusual year. I mean, we all recognize that, but it's all part of this challenge. And, we're just pushing and keep working, trying to keep our eye on a target. And so, the reward will be great.
Babe Blocker, 105.3, The Fan. Mike, obviously, pretty bleak day offensively yesterday, but you go back, you look at the tape, and you see some things that, we did this pretty well. So what were the positives?
I'd say running the ball in the first half, because that was something we felt like we needed to do. They were playing very well on defense, especially in the run defense. So getting that established was important. I didn't get Cooper into a rhythm, and that's something that, I didn't feel good about when the game was over throughout the game. So, we need to find, a better way of doing that. So I need to do a better job there. But, yeah, it's just, those three series in a row, with the giveaways, and, the game got away from us.
Aaron Kasnis, Love Star Live. Part of Micah's answer yesterday that drew all the attention was also about veteran players and how he feels for them. So I'm curious for you, what's the message like for maybe a Zach Martin compared to younger guys, and how do they receive that message?
Well, I think, being a veteran, you understand the importance of how precious this time is more than anybody. So, yeah, I think, Zach is the ultimate professional. I mean, just the way he goes about his business, obviously the way he's played for so long here. But yeah, you definitely, feel for the guys that have done this a long time. This is, you only get so many cracks at the plate.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, I know you talked about you evaluate everything. What did you think of Asim Richards filling in for Tyler Guyton yesterday?
I was impressed with it. I thought he did a good job. He didn't affect the way the game was called. I think that's important anytime a young player goes in there, especially a left tackle. So I was pleased with his performance.
Ed Werder, WFAA. Should we assume that you're moving forward with Cooper as your starting quarterback?
Yeah.
And do you have a third quarterback in the building yet, or are you close to getting one?
Yes, we are close to getting one. So, I'm going off what happened last week. So I'm just going to let him go through the process and make sure everything goes well. But yeah, we're in the process of signing one. And yes, Cooper Rush will be the starter this week.
When you say you need to take more shots, and are you suggesting that the game plan was too conservative, the play calling, or the quarterback decision making?
Well, it's just like anything. I mean, you don't just line up and say, hey, we're taking a shot on this play. I mean, if something, first you got to have protection. There's things that you do, and without getting totally in specifics, you got a new young player, left tackle. So, so you factor all those things. And so how can you manufacture the ball getting in down the field or getting it in the green grass? We had a number of crossing routes that we felt good about that just didn't happen. So, and that's the way the game goes, it's the ball didn't go down the field enough, that's for sure.
Can you talk about what you saw from Trey? I know you said you wanted to get him in there. You had some packages for Trey Lance. And how did he play?
We got him in there, that first series, trying to, give us a spark. And then you got to the third down, and I just felt, he didn't have reps in that particular situational work. But then, you know, gave him some series, you know, based on where we were. But thought he did some good things, and, you know, definitely some things he learned from. So it was good to get him in there.
I know you said Cooper's going to go forward. How difficult is it to try to put a package for a second quarterback and while you're going?
It's not. I mean, Trey actually, you know, when we got in there, he ran a two-minute, the no-huddle offense. So, I mean, that wasn't just things that we just put in for him. So he ran the same, you know, the same package as Dak and Cooper.
Tom.
Was it a pretty easy decision to stick with Cooper in the situation you guys discussed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have a lot of faith in Cooper. I mean, like I've stood up here last week, you know, everybody believes in him. You know, how can you not based off the way he's performed? But, you know that fumble and the recovery attempt, you know, that was – you know, it was off to a rough start. And like I said, I just feel like he never really got into a rhythm.
And then when you talk about Jerry and the conversation in 2021 and how it's a difficult job, what did he tell you? What was the message?
I don't know. I don't recall. So.
All righty. Thank you, Mike.
There he goes, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys. Doesn't he sound just wiped out? Like, yeah, I don't know. Oh, geez, forget about it. Man, I think at some point, like, you start to get fatigued by it, and then no matter how much you want to try to get yourself ramped up for, you can't hide it.
No, and when he starts to talk about how fast it goes,
mm-hmm.
he's seeing the end.
Oh, yeah.
He's seeing the end. He goes, if there's any advice I could give a young coach,
mm-hmm.
it goes really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he's looking at this as, I just turned 61. I'm probably not going to get another gig after this unless somebody, you know, wants to take a chance on me. But he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. He resuscitated his career. He got five more years out of it. Where in Green Bay, it was, you know, he basically left as, hey, we don't want you anymore. They got rid of you during the season. They went and hired a young coach. Everything is now rosy and good for Green Bay. I mean, they got a street named after him there in Green Bay, but, you know, everybody else.
Yeah, go back to where he's a legend with 25 mil.
Yeah. He did exactly what he did, but today was
always have those 12 games a season.
Well, yeah, exactly.
A 3-year run of 12 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry telling him I wonder if Jerry told him, "Hey, listen, I do two radio shows a week. I'm going to talk in the post game afterwards. There's going to be four reporters in that big, nice media room you got, and you're going to stand up there and you're going to wonder where the hell everybody is. Yeah. Let me tell you what, they're standing out in the hallway talking to me."
Yeah, you know? Hall of Famer, baby.
Yeah. So I think today we saw that. I think we saw a little reflective goodbye kind of a thing.
Let's get some NFL news of the day in here, Wolchuk. What do you say?
Yeah, we can get to some quick hits. You want to just come back,
yeah.
hit it, and then we'll see what we got time for.
Yes, sir.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's perfect. Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. Had the Mike McCarthy press conference there at the top of the hour. If you want to go back and listen, talked about a number of subjects. It's time now for your NFL news of the day, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is the victim of a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's Wolchuk with some NFL news.
All right, we'll get you some quick hits here. We'll carry over the Darren Rizzi football guy of the day audio for 420 before the top 10. But Leonard Fournette went ahead and worked out for the Bengals, and they decided not to sign him. They're going with former Giants practice squad running back Gary Brightwell. Can't tell you who Gary is, but he is now going to be a Cincinnati Bengal. They also worked out Xavien Howard, former Baylor Bear, Miami Dolphin, the corner. They did offer him a contract, but after the workout, sides decided, you know what, Xavien Howard wants to go back home. He's going to keep training. Doesn't know if that's really a good fit. So I guess we'll have to see. Maybe he does end up a Bengal at some point. He's not going to today. What a sad weekend it was for Florida, just the state in general when it came to the NFL and college football. They went 0-8 or 0-6 on Saturday with the college games. Florida State loses. Florida loses. Miami loses. Miami. Big upset there.
Miami.
UCF, USF, and FAU. FIU was idle, so they didn't get to lose. But then Jags and Bucks also lost yesterday, so they go 0-8 over the weekend as a state, which is historically bad. And tonight they've got Miami. The Dolphins are playing on Monday Night Football, so maybe they can salvage this.
Yeah, I don't know if they will, though. I think the Rams are getting healthy at the right time. Tyreek Hill's popping up on injury reports. It's just it's a nightmare year for all things Florida.
And then the final thing here is James Houston, okay, of the Detroit Lions. You might have seen this photo going viral last night. It looked like he might have pooped his pants during the game.
I saw the allegations. And the evidence, now, pretty damning.
He did give a good answer to, I swear I didn't crap myself during Sunday Night Football.
But?
He said, I sat on some Gatorade. Just chill. So that might just be yellow their Gatorade.
Their new poo flavor Gatorade?
Apparently. But they were wearing all white unis, and right in the bum area, there was a stain. And he says, sat on some Gatorade. I didn't poop my pants, but everyone's alleging he did.
You kind of want your training staff to help you out there, squirt a little water there on the old behind at
some
point.
It is interesting that it all just kind of went to that one specific area, and it's not spread out on the bottom if he did sit in Gatorade.
So are you not buying what he's selling?
I'm not really buying the Gatorade excuse. I think he pooped himself.
Yeah, I don't think there's a flavor that looks like that.
Yep, there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
I thought they made a new poo flavor. Was I wrong about that?
They tested it in California and Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
For Seminole fans. Right.
I don't think that it caught on.
They only liked it in Philadelphia. They didn't think it was popular enough.
That's the only place it took.
Krusty's Corners brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, where are we going next?
Yeah, we're going to talk about what we saw in the Philadelphia film. We'll do that next.
Oh, thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll have a hodgepodge. Right now, it's time for Brian's Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this one. Going through the game itself, the focus that I want to take part of today is the defense. And I feel like that they gave you a shot in this game to at least stay in this game. I have a couple of offensive thoughts. You know, a couple of different plays with, you know, there was a time where Lamb and Rush didn't look on the same page. And then the ball that I think there's some conversation needs to be had about the play down the end zone where Lamb lost the ball in the sunlight. But first I want to focus on the overshown sack. You know, we've talked about this on our show, the first overshown sack. We've talked about this on our show about how to use him. And I'm glad to see, and I said it before we went to the Mike McCarthy press conference, I'm glad to see the defensive coaches are trying to do things, you know, and just not say, okay, hey, we're going to roll out the same look every week or the same coverage or, you know, just they're trying to at least mask some deficiencies or take advantage of some things that they do well.
Yeah.
That's what.
Try and dial it up a little bit.
I think having Micah Parsons back this week really helped.
Yeah.
It helped from that aspect because there's a couple of different rushes here. And the one I want to talk about, like say the overshown, the first one, I really, really like what Zimmer did with this design here. And he's going to show Mike. Always going to give you that pressure look with the double A gap look. And he gives you that look, but he's going to drop. You know, Leofau's on the field. They've got Overshown as a rusher. So Leofau's taken away, taken Overshown spot. They've taken a defensive tackle out and they put Overshown in. But what they do is when they drop Kendricks and Leofau, Overshown and Parsons are lining up on the same side. So what that does is now the the offensive line is thinking, okay, we got to handle Parsons here. That's the guy that we're going to have to worry about here. But what Parsons does is they double team him, which leaves the running back, and Zimmer gets exactly what he wants. Because we talked about this leading up to this game, that Barkley and Gainwell and those guys had given up some sacks.
Yeah, they can't pass protect.
They can't pass protect all that well, and they gave up. You know, they've gave up some pressures, and they've gave up some sacks. So here we are, a design to get a matchup that's favorable to you, where, hey, let's put one of our better, more athletic defensive players on a guy that can't handle what's going on. So they get the double team they want, and now that puts Gainwell on Overshown. And as you watch the play, he's got no shot.
It's just a blow by.
Just no shot at all to be able to make that play or to get that block.
Hurts was so surprised at that closing speed, too. He was
you
could see just the blur. Yeah.
There's no question that right there is what, when you have Micah Parsons back in the lineup, it allows you, now the Eagles are like, hey, we got to worry about 11, but we'll watch 13 here. But they get the matchup they want. I applaud them for doing that. The Diggs interception, okay, this is a confusing one coverage-wise to me, but it works out well for the Cowboys defensively. The Eagles are going to flood the left side in order to get Dallas Goedert inside. So they've got bodies to the outside left, so they're going to try and stretch the Dallas secondary here. They're going to stretch them instead of we've seen teams play that condensed look. Their routes are going to stretch, and they're trying to create a seam. Kellen Moore was trying to create a seam along the hash in order to get Dallas Goedert the ball.
Yeah, send one guy to the pylon.
Yeah, send one up the sidelines, one a little bit wider, and then that gets Dallas's defense to have to think more horizontally than vertically.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It really worked. Because what's going to happen is Diggs, and it's the same thing that Dak dealt with in that Detroit game where he threw the interception.
Branch peeled.
Branch is reading Dak's eyes the whole time. You see Diggs on tape. Diggs is not buying all the wide stuff. He sees what's happening, and that route goes and there's nobody in the hole there. There's nobody. I mean, Hooker's in the middle of the field, and he's not. There's no way he could react, even though that with the way the width is of the receivers, he should be kind of playing over to his right. But Diggs saves the day on this one because he's looking at Hurts the whole entire time, and you see when he sees it, then he's able to make the adjust interception. So, there was Wilson and Hooker. Neither one of them are in any position, as I said, to make that play. It was zone coverage across the board. Great job by Diggs of playing in his zone and doing exactly what he needed to do. All right, the Parsons sack fumble. Once again, it's the same look as the previous sacks, except that Leofau comes on the blitz instead of Overshown. So now they're like thinking, you know, they're like, maybe the Eagles made some type of adjustment. Oh, 13 is going to be the rusher. Well, Zimmer decides he's going to send Leofau. On this play, though, Osa draws three blockers.
Mm.
So Osa is up the field so fast that all of a sudden he's got three blockers on him, and Parsons is able to beat Fred Johnson to the inside there. And then that's how
was that a planned stunt, like a loop?
It was like Parsons was kind of waiting, like he was going to see what was going to happen, because they got the blitzer and it was almost like he was playing a spy. And then he came once he saw Hurts try and step forward. He then stepped up and was able to make the play right there. And it was And that Parsons is when he beats on that, it's like that twist, but it was a little bit of delay to it is what it was. So that allowed, but when Hurts stepped Parsons was right there to make the play. But great job by Osa to draw the blockers and create, keep guys pinned away from Micah, and then allowed him to have the ability to go inside and make the play right there. All right, I mentioned the I'll go to the offensive side here real quick. And you remember the play where Cooper Rush just threw the ball and it, like, CeeDee wasn't even looking at the play, wasn't even looking for the ball? He was like going up the field and the ball just went right by him?
Yes.
This is where I'm kind of worried because, you know, Cooper Rush, yeah, he had the drop snap. You think of it as his first start. That's going to be, you know, that's like a kind of a young guy mistake, maybe a rookie mistake. This one was really confusing to me because it appears that Lamb, they were going to run a screen. They were trying to set up the screen, and everybody ran the screen, the blocks, with the exception of the quarterback. The quarterback threw the route. CeeDee was going down the field to block. They're going to try and run the screen going to the right. So you see the linemen start to move. You see Dowdle start to check and then go. But then all of a sudden, I don't know if Lamb and maybe Cooper Rush had sometimes you see like a visual, like he looks over and he sees the coverage.
And I like this. This is a good matchup.
And give him like a nod, or you give the guy a hand,
Yeah.
I like the wipe. I like when they do the breastplate.
This is coming to you.
Wipe, like,
yeah, just like it's coming to you. But I couldn't figure out why that was the case. I couldn't figure out like what happened there. But Dallas is trying to run a screen and everybody runs the screen but the quarterback. That's just to me, that's a big problem right there, that those guys, you know, two veteran players not on the same page, that could have probably, you know, it just kind of makes me wonder, well, what was Cooper Rush thinking there? All right, the ball that the final one here, the ball that was that Rush seemed to threw into the sun. Lamb was the second option here on this play.
Oof.
I think what happened was that they wanted to go to Ferguson underneath, and Cooper Rush got caught in between, not wanting to throw to Ferguson in double coverage, and then he tried to come back to Lamb. If the first read is Lamb on the shallow cross, it's a touchdown. Because what happens, he goes from basically the shadows into light, into more light. So by the time that Cooper Rush came back to him,
he's directly in the light.
He's directly in the light. And so he's open off the jump. But it looks like the play is, because you can see Cooper Rush's head is looking, his eyes are looking right at Ferguson trying to kind of pivot inside. The double coverage kind of messes him up. And now he gets caught in trying to throw the ball back underneath. But you've got Lamb, like I said, running completely across the field and he can't see because he goes from the shadows to a little bit of the light to being right in the middle of the light.
Jeez.
And that just shows you right there. I mean, if Cooper Rush was afraid to throw the double team, you know, that would have been a tight chance. But that play, if that play goes to Lamb right off the jump, it's a touchdown. But unfortunately, though, he comes back, and by
he
that
waited
time,
to the worst possible
he waited,
time.
And by the time he waited and got back to him, he was right in the middle of the end zone, and that's where the light was completely in his
eyes. But they know where the sun is. I love it, Brian. That is terrific breakdown. Yep. My prediction is Jerry will one day use this as justification to ask taxpayers for a new stadium, possibly in Frisco. Oh, stadium's broken, guys. It can't be built.
I saw Shireen Williams was talking about, as a Arlington resident, as a taxpayer, she's like, listen, why do we have a retractable roof? We never use it here. You know, and she was talking about the weather and all that.
Why'd we pay for that?
Yeah, why'd we pay for a retractable roof and we don't use the roof?
Crusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. A must tune in every day for Cowboys fans. Every Wednesday, Thursday, he previews the opponent's offense and defense, respectively. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Sports Hodgepodge coming up next, Chief.
Yes, we got some great game day signs and the coolest plays of the football weekend next year in the nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski.
In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.